You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
Hello, welcome to this week's Chemistry in Its Element. I'm Chris Smith. In this episode, we come face to face with the chemical dubbed the connoisseur's element. It's won a Nobel Prize as a catalyst, it's the muscle behind wear-resistant electrical contacts, and it might even help you to write nicely, unless you're a doctor, in which case you're probably beyond redemption. Here's Jonathan Steed.
Stop the proverbial man in the street and ask him what ruthenium is, and the chances are he won't be able to tell you. Compared to the sexier elements that are household names like carbon and oxygen, ruthenium is, frankly, a bit obscure. In fact, even if your man in the street was wearing a lab coat and walking on a street very close to a university chemistry department, he might still be a bit ignorant about this mysterious metal. It wasn't always that way, though. 20 or 30 years ago, whole generations of chemists did entire PhDs on the chemistry of the metals of the so-called platinum group, of which ruthenium is one. As one of that cohort of ruthenium chemists, it's my duty to spread the word about the element once described by one of the fathers of modern inorganic chemistry, Sir Geoffrey Wilkinson, as an element for the connoisseur. As I rustily recalled in response to the first question I was asked in my PhD exam, the name ruthenium derives from Ruthenia, the Latin word for Rus, a historical area which includes present-day Western Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, and parts of Slovakia and Poland. The name was first proposed by Gottfried Osan in 1828, who believed he had identified the metal. And the name was retained by Osan's countryman, and in 1844, ruthenium's official discoverer, Karl Klaus, in honour of his birthplace in Tartu, Estonia, at that time a part of the Russian Empire. Ruthenium's popularity in university chemistry departments in the latter half of the 20th century was in no small part due to the fact that it's relatively cheap. The rarity of the platinum group metals, which are often found together, makes them all expensive. But unlike platinum, rhodium and palladium, which have use in automobile catalytic converters, for example, ruthenium was historically not so much in demand. Indeed, for many years, the metals company Johnson Matthey operated a loan scheme where they would give aspiring researchers 100 grams or so of ruthenium trichloride to experiment with in the hope that chemists would find new uses for the material. The loan scheme operated for the pricier metals like rhodium as well, but only in little 5-gram pots. A nice feature of the loan scheme was that the chemists collected the metal-containing residues of their experiments and returned the resulting black, smelly sludge to the company for metals recovery. So, from the 1960s onwards, when the field of organometallic chemistry burst onto chemists' consciousness, a lot of people were doing a lot of research with the connoisseur's element. While it was a rhodium reaction that led the ever-colourful Wilkinson to rush around his lab, brandishing a foaming test tube and shouting, "Who wants a PhD?" it certainly seemed true that PhDs were to be had for nothing more than boiling up any of the platinum group metals with as many organic materials as possible and analysing the fascinating cornucopia of compounds that resulted. It turns out that ruthenium does indeed deserve Wilkinson's elegant description. While the element itself is an unremarkable-looking, rather hard, white metal, it forms a vast range of interesting compounds that seem to have that perfect balance between reactivity and stability to make them generally useful but easy to handle. Like all of the platinum group metals, ruthenium complex is a good catalyst. Wind the clock forward to 2005 when Yves Chauvin, Bob Grubbs and Dick Schrock were awarded the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for the development of the metathesis method in organic synthesis. This synthetic chemistry award was a real boost for the potboilers. And which of the platinum group metals is it that lies at the heart of Grubbs' elegant catalyst system for this fantastically useful modern carbon-carbon bond-forming reaction? It turns out that it's a cool carbene complex of the humble ruthenium that gets it just right. It's this kind of niche application, just a little, in just the right place, that I think Wilkinson was talking about. In fact, the harder you look, the more you find just little bits of ruthenium stiffening the backbone of technology. Due to its hardness, ruthenium is used in alloys with other platinum group metals to make wear-resistant electrical contacts, and there is a vast amount of interest in ruthenium-based thin-film microelectronics because the metal can be easily patterned. If you're a fan of fountain pens, then the chances are you have written with a ruthenium alloy. The famous Parker 51 fountain pen has been fitted with an RU nib since 1944, a 14-carat gold nib, tipped with 96.2% ruthenium and 3.8% iridium. Ruthenium compounds also have some nice optical and electronic properties. Like its lighter close relative iron, ruthenium readily forms a number of oxides, including some exotic oxygen-bridged multimetallic compounds. One such material, ruthenium red, is a dye used to stain negatively charged biomolecules such as nucleic acids in microscopy. Ruthenium complexes also have significant potential as anti-cancer treatments. One of my personal favourites in the zoo of exotic ruthenium complexes is the Crouts-Tarbi iron. two ruthenium atoms surrounded by ammonia molecules and joined by a molecule of pyrazine. Imagine benzene, but with a couple of nitrogen atoms. This was the first genuinely delocalized mixed valence complex. From the overall charge, you know that one of the ruthenium ions has to have a +3 charge, and one has to have +2. But there's just no way to work out which is which. It behaves for all the world as if the two metals have +2.5 charges each, even though charges only come in units of one. This compound gave rise to a whole field of mixed valence chemistry and is part of the tremendously exciting field of molecular electronics today. So, when you think about chemistry and are watching yet another documentary on the vital importance of carbon or the hydrogen economy, spare a thought for the rare refined elements like ruthenium that are reserved only for the connoisseur.
So that's why I can't read my own writing. Perhaps BIC need to start incorporating some ruthenium in their rollerballs. That was Durham University's Jonathan Steed. Next time, to the stuff that's the bane of kettles and boilers everywhere. But there are some benefits too.
The calcium usually enters the water as it flows past either calcium carbonate from limestone and chalk or calcium sulfate from other mineral deposits. While some people do not like the taste, hard water is generally not harmful to your health, although it does make your kettle furry. Interestingly, the taste of beer, something dear to my heart, seems related to the calcium concentration of the water used. And it is claimed that good beer should have a calcium concentration that is higher than that of hard tap water.
And more importantly, an alcohol concentration of at least 10%. No southern softies around here, thank you very much. Karen Folds will be serving up the story of calcium on next week's Chemistry in Its Element. I'm Chris Smith, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye!
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.